This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 31st, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global bonds climb as the Bank of Japan keeps monetary policy in place.
Shares of Credit Suisse rise amid gains in its private banking business.
Apple reports earnings as the slump in FANG stocks shows no sign of abating.
And Morgan Stanley says the U.S. equity rally may be nearing an end.
Jury selection begins today in the trial of President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. Plus, is North Korea building new missiles? I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees traded for pitcher Lance Lynn. The Jets have signed rookie quarterback Sam Darnold. And we'll hear from LeBron James on his signing with the Lakers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Sovereign bonds are climbing and global stocks are mixed after the latest policy decision from the Bank of Japan. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher, up 3 points. Dow futures little changed, up 1. NASDAQ futures up 7. The DAX in Germany's down 0.1%. CAC in Paris little changed. FTSE 100 up 0.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.5%, while the Nikkei 225 in Japan was little changed. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.94%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5%, or 36 cents, to $69.77 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3%, down $3.80 at $12.27.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1724. The yen, 111.48. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the Bank of Japan as it pledges to keep its ultra-loose monetary policy in place. The BOJ left its key interest rates unchanged while announcing slight changes in policy. Bloomberg Global Economics and Policy Editor Kathleen Hayes reports from Tokyo.
They're going to allow the yield to fluctuate. They're going to keep the 10-year yield still at about 0%. But they added language that says, while doing so, the yields may move upward and downward to some extent, mainly depending on developments in economic activity and prices. So they haven't officially or formally set a range, but it seems like that's more what they're doing now. Also important, they added forward guidance. They said they intend to maintain extremely low levels of short and long-term interest rates, quote, for an extended period of time. That's why people read this as a dovish statement, because they had to cut their inflation forecast. They want to sustain aggressive stimulus. Very important moves to the BOJ, but not hawkish as people thought it might be. In Tokyo, I'm Kathleen Hayes, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global bonds are rallying after that announcement from the BOJ. Treasuries are gaining while French bonds lead the charge in Europe. The yen, meanwhile, touching its weakest level in a week, currently trading at 111.49.
On the economic front, Japan's factory output declined in June for the second straight month. That adds to concerns about the strength of the economy on the heels of the BOJ decision.
Meanwhile, in China, the official factory gauge for July shows domestic and external pressures weighing on the economy. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Manufacturing PMI missed estimates, falling from 51.5 to 51.2. New orders slumped while input and output prices dropped. The sector's been squeezed by a double whammy of deleveraging and a trade war that's sapping demand. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thanks. The euro area's economic expansion entered a sixth year in the second quarter, although growth unexpectedly slowed to just 0.3%. That is the weakest level in 2 years. At the same time, inflation in the euro area accelerated to 2.1% in July, largely driven by stronger energy prices.
On the earnings front, shares of Credit Suisse are higher by 1.5% in Zurich. The Swiss bank added more than $9 billion in net new assets in the 3 months through June, with gains in private banking offsetting weakness in trading. Credit Suisse CEO Tijan Tiam spoke with Bloomberg following the results.
The core of our performance is driven by the wealth management, which is actually much more stable and much more predictable and growing very nicely. And we can then absorb the volatility of global market.
Credit Suisse is in the third year of its turnaround plan. CEO Tijan Tiam said the bank should be able to return cash to shareholders once that effort is complete.
Shares of Standard Chartered, meanwhile, are down about 3% in London. The bank reported pre-tax profit that topped estimates, but income from trading fell in the period.
The rush to get out of technology stocks spilled into Asia today. Shares of Tencent Holdings and Nintendo fell following the U.S. slump in FANG stocks. Here in the U.S., Netflix shares dropped 5% yesterday, while Facebook fell 3%. The FANG index has tumbled 9% over the past 3 days.
And that tech slide is an alarming sign for Morgan Stanley. The firm says it's just the beginning of bigger losses to come for equities, despite a large majority of S&P 500 companies beating estimates this earnings season. Equity strategists at Morgan Stanley see the biggest correction since February on its way.
Amid all of this, Apple reports earnings after the close of U.S. trading today. Greg Jarrett has a preview from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The Cupertino, California-based tech giant is expected to announce fiscal third-quarter revenue of $52.3 billion, according to analyst estimates compiled by Bloomberg. That's in line with the company's recent forecast and translates to year-over-year revenue growth of about 15%. That would be the strongest for Apple's June quarter since 2015. Analysts say higher iPhone average selling prices, increased services revenue, and unit sales growth for the Apple Watch should drive the expansion. In San Francisco, I'm Greg Jarrett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Greg. Let's turn to the White House now, where the Trump administration may be considering another tax cut, and this time Congress wouldn't be involved. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Nathan, the New York Times says the administration is considering bypassing Congress to deliver a $100 billion capital gains tax cut. Capital gains were left untouched to the $1.5 trillion tax law that President Trump signed last year. The paper says the Treasury Department is studying whether it could use its regulatory powers to allow Americans to account for inflation in determining capital gains tax liabilities. By at least one estimate, indexing capital gains to inflation would reduce government revenues by $102 billion over 10 years. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are up about 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 10, NASDAQ futures up 8, and the 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 2.94%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Jury selection begins today in the bank and fraud trial of Paul Manafort in Alexandria, Virginia. Prosecutors for special counsel Robert Mueller submitted a 35-person witness list ahead of the trial. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
This case against the one-time Trump campaign manager is the first assembled by special counsel Robert Mueller's team to get this far. Five others charged in the probe have pled out. Now, this is the first of two trials Manafort faces. This one, 18 counts of bank and tax fraud. The second is money laundering and acting as an agent of the Ukraine.
Bloomberg's Ed Baxter. Republican lawmakers weigh in following President Trump's renewed threat to shut down the federal government if Congress does not include funding for a border wall. Republican Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama.
None of us want to shut down the government. Democrats or Republicans, no one wins. I think the American people expect us to do our job and should.
Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reports President Trump has privately agreed to delay a potential shutdown over border wall funding until after the midterm elections. Is North Korea building new missiles? Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
North Korea is working on at least one, if not two, liquid-fueled ballistic missiles at a research facility where the country made its first ICBM. That's according to unidentified U.S. spy officials who spoke to the Washington Post. The latest intelligence, which the Post said was based on recent satellite photos, comes just weeks after President Trump declared in a Twitter post that Pyongyang was no longer a nuclear threat, and more than a month after North Korean leader Kim Jong-un pledged to work toward the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The fight against the deadly car fire is personal for Redding, California Police Chief Roger Moore. He was among many to lose their homes. Moore says he's thankful that he was able to grab some irreplaceable items as he fled the flames.
For me, it was some of the pictures, the hard drives of the kids and things, but, you know, what was in the safe, right? So some of the weapons, but also birth certificates and Social Security cards and deeds.
More than 1,000 buildings were destroyed in Redding. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, most felt the Yankees were done wheeling and dealing, having already acquired two pitchers, J. Happ and Zach Britton. But last night, just ahead of today's non-waiver trade deadline, they made two more trades. They sent Tyler Austin and a minor leaguer to Minnesota for another pitcher, veteran Lance Lynn, who's been a starter most of his career but is expected to be put in the Yankee bullpen, taking the spot of Adam Warren, who was dealt to Seattle. Unusual transaction because in return the Yankees received international signing money. Yanks host Baltimore tonight, and then Thursday they start a huge four-game series in Boston, where last night the Red Sox won again. 2-1, 13 innings over the Phillies. The Sox are 42 games over 500. Six games ahead of the Yanks. Mets back tonight in Washington. Nationals said to be at least listening to trade offers for Bryce Harper, who'll be a free agent this winter. As expected, the holdout of Jets rookie quarterback Sam Darnold did not last long. The contract language was worked out. The deal's for 4 years, $30 million, a $20 million bonus. And now Darnold will try to beat out veterans Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater for the starting job. Took a month, but LeBron James finally weighing in on his decision to sign with the Lakers.
I'm happy to be a part of it because I believe the Lakers is a historical franchise. We all know that, but it's a championship franchise, and that's what we're trying to get back to. And I'm happy to be a part of the culture and be a part of us getting back to that point. So, you know, I have on one hand my school, which I'm, and then I have my next chapter in my personal life, being a part of the Lakers organization and continue to do what I love to do, and that's to play the game of basketball.
That school is for at-risk kids, built through James's foundation in his hometown of Akron. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. In other sports news, the Oakland Athletics are doing away with traditional season ticket plans. Instead, they'll have membership programs that let fans buy general admission tickets, reserve seats, and get special perks as well. A's Access memberships would include benefits like half-price concessions and discount merchandise and parking. In addition, fans who enter into these memberships would receive an allotment of seat upgrade credits for other games they didn't originally purchase. They're trying to pack A's fans back in Oakland. Had the third worst attendance record in the majors. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The Bank of Japan tweaked its policy as expected, saying it will let 10-year yields deviate as much as 20 basis points from zero. The BOJ also cut its inflation forecasts. Apple reports earnings after the close of US trading. Investors are focused on forecasts from the iPhone maker, along with current quarter iPhone sales and growth in services revenue. The government may try to bypass Congress with a tax cut worth $102 billion over a decade. That's according to a New York Times interview with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who says he wants to account for inflation and capital gains taxes. And China's PMI's missed estimates, clouding the outlook for the second half. The factory gauge eased to 51.2 in July, while the services measure slid to 54 from 55. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 4 points. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany, little changed. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.94%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 35 cents to $69.78 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $4.40 to $12.27.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1724, and the yen, 111.51. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, jury selection is set to begin in the trial of President Trump's former campaign chairman. Paul Manafort will appear today in federal court in Virginia for the first trial arising from special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Manafort is accused of bank and tax fraud. U.S. spy agencies reportedly say North Korea is constructing new missiles at a factory that produces intercontinental ballistic missiles. According to the Washington Post, the new evidence includes satellite photos taken in recent weeks. In sports, in baseball, the Yankees and Mets were off. The Red Sox beat the Phillies in 13 innings. The A's and Giants were winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter.
Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
It's 6:20 on Wall Street. As the earnings parade continues, we've got that big report coming up after the bell from Apple. John Butler is here with us now. He's a senior telecom analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. John, so are we forecasting another double-digit quarter for Apple?
Yeah, I think Apple is in for a good quarter. You know, as you said, the bottom line estimate is for, you know, growth in the mid-teens range. So I think, you know, all systems go for the current quarter. In terms of what people are focused on, though, really, it's beyond the current quarter. There's this whole transition from that iPhone hardware business to more services and some of the other newer products. And I think the rhetoric around those is really what's going to matter.
Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about the iPhone 10 that retailers for a four-figure price point, I mean, it almost feels like Apple kind of has to broaden its scope a bit. Yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, one thing people miss is that there's a lot more models of the iPhone on the market today than there were a year ago. And so Apple is broadening that product line to now include, as you said, that ultra high-end phone that's over $1,000. But they don't need to sell many of those to really get the average selling price of that whole product category up. And that really has helped them in recent quarters. So, you know, I'm not so worried about the volume sales on those higher-end phones as much as I am the average selling price of those.
So we've been tracking this sell-off in the so-called FANG stocks. Of course, Apple is included in that acronym. Are we expecting Apple to sort of buck the trend that's been driven a lot by these social media companies that have been dragged down so hard?
Well, it's hard to say how the whole group will trade, whether it'll be together or separately on their own merits. I mean, I'm not concerned about Apple and its immediate future. I think their growth outlook looks good. I think we're in a good cycle for the iPhone. Keep in mind, you mentioned a moment ago the iPhone 10. You know, that was launched in the last refresh cycle a year ago in September. And it really launched a whole new family of iPhones. You know, the design of that was very different from the phones that had come before it. And I think what we can expect in September of this year is more of the same, but a broader family around that design. So overall, I think the immediate future for Apple from a growth standpoint looks good. And you need to look at the individual FANG stocks, and every story within that group is very different. So I'm not so concerned with Apple.
How much do you expect that growth picture to be affected by this ongoing trade spat, war, conflict, whatever you want to call it, between the U.S. and China?
That's a concern. It's tough to predict as well, as you know. You know, it seems like every time we turn around, there's a new tranche of products that are subject to tariffs. The latest scare for Apple was that in the latest tranche, the Apple Watch may get included in that category. Apple, I believe, is appealing. I don't really cover that tariff area, but you can't appeal to the government to get your product excluded from the group of products within the tariff category. The iPhone hasn't made it there yet, but I stress yet. You know, that's the risk here, and it's something to watch as this price war seems to escalate.
Well, we'll be watching Apple Watch and all the other product lines
right.
As that report comes out on earnings for Apple after the close today on Wall Street. That was John Butler. He's a senior telecom analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique, real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government facts that impact business. If you are a terminal subscriber, you can access the function at BIGO. That's at BIGO. Wall Street futures pointing to a slightly higher open. The S&P up about a tenth percent, 4 points higher. Dow futures up 10. NASDAQ futures up 7. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the 2018 Range Rover Velar. It brings together elegance and innovation like you've never seen before. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We got the first of this week's central bank decisions. The Bank of Japan pledged to keep its ultra-loose monetary policy in place. Policymakers tweaked some policies, but signaled interest rates will stay low for an extended period of time.
The euro area's economic expansion entered a sixth year in the second quarter, although growth unexpectedly slowed to just 0.3%. That's the weakest level in 2 years.
Apple leads more than three dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. The Apple report comes amid a rout in tech shares. Mark Lehman is the president of JMP Securities.
Apple's multiple is not nearly as frothy as the companies in the other FANG names that we've talked about. So I think expectations are a little bit tempered. Obviously, they're getting a lot of growth out of some of their services business, like we've seen in the cloud and Apple Music and the App Store. That I don't think will go down. I think that'll be a north of 30% number. So expectations are a little bit tempered, as is the multiple. And that's why Apple, I think, is still a reasonably priced stock.
So far this year, Apple's shares are up 12%.
Plenty of earnings in Europe this morning. Credit Suisse shares are up more than 1%. The bank's key international wealth management unit and the Swiss Universal Bank posted higher than expected earnings.
Shares of Standard Chartered are down more than 3%. Expenses in the first half of the year jumped more than estimated, and the London lender indicated they were unlikely to decline over the rest of 2018.
BP shares are up almost 1%. The European oil company boosted profit that topped estimates.
And in Asia, the slowdown in the global smartphone market is starting to take a toll on Samsung Electronics. The South Korean company's net income fell short of analyst estimates.
It is 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index Report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 14.26. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently trading at 13.78. And that's this morning's Volatility Report.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 5.5 points. Dow futures up 27. NASDAQ futures are up 9. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.1%. It's more little changed. CAC in Paris up close to 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. The yield 2.94%. The yield on the 2-year 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.6% or 41 cents to $69.72 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.3% on $4.60 to $12.2690 an ounce. You've been watching the yen as it weakens. It's at 111.50. The euro is at $1.1727. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. The news brought to you by Eisner Amper. Congress has passed the most sweeping tax law changes since 1986. Is your company ready? Check out the latest analysis and news from Eisner Amper at EisnerAmper.com/tax change. Now let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The first trial resulting from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation gets underway this morning in Alexandria, Virginia. Jury selection begins today for Paul Manafort, who is accused of bank and tax fraud. Over the weekend, President Trump sent a series of tweets against Mueller, saying he and Mueller had a, quote, very nasty and contentious business relationship. There's mixed reaction from lawmakers to President Donald Trump's declaration about a meeting with Iran.
Good for the country, good for them, good for us, and good for the world. No preconditions. If they want to meet, I'll meet.
The Republican chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker, said the overture is fine if the Iranians are willing to talk about becoming a normal country. New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez said it's another recipe for bad outcomes. President Trump has privately agreed to delay a potential shutdown or a fight over border wall funding until after the midterm elections, according to the Wall Street Journal. Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence praised the Trump administration, commenting on Trump's border wall promise.
President Trump's already signed the largest increase in border security in nearly 10 years, and we got a down payment, and we're going to build that wall. We've already started.
Pence spoke at an event for congressional candidate Troy Balderson in Ohio. Plans to publish designs for 3D printable plastic guns will go before a federal judge in a multi-state lawsuit. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson says that the Trump administration's decision to allow plans for the printing of so-called ghost guns would allow anyone with a 3D printer and a computer to create their own unregistered, potentially untraceable firearms.
After almost 18 months of the Trump administration, I was skeptical there is anything else this administration could do that would truly shock me. But they have.
Gun rights groups argue a ban on publishing the plans violates the right to free speech. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, baseball's non-waiver trade deadline, 4 o'clock today. Could Washington trade its star Bryce Harper? He's a free agent to be. The Nationals just a 500 team. Yankees beat the deadline, making two more trades. They sent reliever Adam Warren to Seattle for $1.25 million in international signing money. And they dealt first baseman Tyler Austin in the minor leaguer to Minnesota for veteran pitcher Lance Lynn, whose ERA this year is over 5. He's expected to be a spot starter and a long man in the bullpen. Yanks host Baltimore tonight before they go to Boston, where the Red Sox just beat the Phillies 2-1, 13 innings. The Sox move 6 games ahead of the Yanks. Who will be the Jets' starting quarterback? Let the competition begin. Now that Sam Darnold is in camp, having signed his rookie contract, Jets coach Todd Bowles.
We want everybody here on time, like I said, but it's a business, and you understand the ramifications of missing 3 practices, but he can catch up. I mean, he's got time to catch up, but he's got to put his head down because everybody has a head start.
Bowles, for now, has Darnold slotted as his third-string QB behind the veterans Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater, but Darnold was the third overall pick of the draft, so he is going to start at some point. The question is when. The question to LeBron James, why did he sign with the Lakers, a team that hasn't even made the playoffs the last 5 years?
This is kind of like a dream come true for me. You look at the Lakers, you know, being able to play for a historic franchise, you know, with so much history, and now being able to partner with Magic Johnson, someone I kind of like, you know, looked up to when I was younger and wanted to make no-look passes like Magic, wanted to get on the break and be Showtime like Magic, and then for it to all come to fruition at this point, I think timing is everything.
James was in his hometown of Akron for the opening of an elementary school for at-risk kids built through his foundation. He admitted he strongly considered signing with Houston or Philadelphia before deciding on L.A. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Many states have been making progress against gun violence, passing laws that make it harder for the most dangerous people to get hold of firearms. Those gains are in jeopardy thanks to new technology and Washington's failure to grapple with its implications. Last month, the State Department quietly settled a lawsuit, allowing a gun entrepreneur to publish online computer files that can be used with a 3D printer to create untraceable firearms. This technology poses any number of dangers. Anonymous manufacturers will make guns designed to evade security, criminals will obtain firearms they aren't allowed to buy, and police will be unable to trace weapons used in crimes. Legislation is needed to contain the problem. Congress must demand background checks for components purchased to manufacture firearms, and all guns should be traceable by means of identifiable markers. Failure to act will have severe consequences. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. It took longer than expected for lawmakers to agree on a $1.2 billion grant program to fund job skills education programs. Details on that from Nancy Lyons in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The bill has been languishing for months due to a Senate effort to put limits on the education secretary's authority. No longer will states need to negotiate benchmarks with the secretary for their job training programs, but they will be monitored, and funding can be withheld if the goals are not met. Bloomberg Government's Emily Wilkins says the compromise reached seeks to improve coordination.
The business community will be working much more closely with the education community in developing these programs and deciding sort of what skills should be taught and what skills should be emphasized.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Nancy. It's 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Tiny Farms of San Leandro, California is an agricultural technology company working to produce food-grade cricket protein for humans and pets. The CEO there, Andrew Brentano, says edible insects are not as popular in the U.S. as in other countries, but he touts them as a good source of protein and vitamins. The insects also require much less food and energy to produce than protein sources like chickens and cows. Brentano sees a role for insect-based foods, though he says there will never be great demand for the products in the U.S. And if selling edible bugs is the type of small business you'd like to start, the Agriculture Department's National Institute of Food and Agriculture can actually help. They administer small business research grants and offer up to $100,000 for a beginning project. Now that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Nathan.
Yum. Thank you, John. S&P futures up 6, Dow futures up 30. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And straight ahead, we'll get a look at what's happening in Washington today, including the start of the first special counsel trial, that of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. We'll check in with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. We are watching earnings this morning, hearing from Pfizer. Second quarter profit beating analyst estimates, and it boosted its view for the year as well. Pfizer shares up 0.5% right now in early trading. We've also been watching the yen today. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures up 38 points. S&P's gained 6.5, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 9. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.95%. And in Asian markets overnight, Chinese PMIs missed, and the BOJ tweaked its policy. European markets are trading higher, led by 1% gains in Italy. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, personal income, spending, and PCE. Some of the other earnings this morning besides Pfizer, WellCare and Huntsman beat, and Eaton revenue beat estimates. Also look for Procter & Gamble to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Chipotle closed an Ohio location after reports of an illness. And wrapping things up, Caterpillar was downgraded to Equate at Barclays. Chipotle upgraded to buy at Jefferies. Lear upgraded to overweight at Morgan Stanley. And Twitter upgraded to neutral over at Nomura Instinet. Live from the First to Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the trial of President Trump's one-time campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, starts today in Virginia. Manafort faces 18 counts of financial crimes. The political network led by billionaire Charles Koch broke from its traditional approach of backing Republican candidates by saying it would not work for the party's challenger to potentially vulnerable Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota. Americans for Prosperity says we can't support Kevin Cramer at this time because of his support for spending bills and farm legislation. In sports and baseball, the Yankees and Mets were off. The Red Sox beat the Phillies in 13 innings. The A's and Giants were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, could you live in a space that's 420 square feet? Graham Hill offered that size apartment, the LE1 in Soho, back in 2014. Now the founder of LifeEdited.com is back with the LE2, an even smaller 350 square foot unit in a co-op building. Nathan, he's asking $750,000 per unit for New York Living, on a Hong Kong scale.
Oh, is that all?
That's it. I couldn't do it.
LE2, that almost sounds like something to get ready for travel in space or something. Well, but you don't get any space in a place like that.
I couldn't do it. I'm 350 square feet long just myself.
No.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. I'm a big guy. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
You're a good man. Thank you, Michael. Time now is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check on what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, President Trump heads to Tampa Bay Technical High School in Florida, where he'll deliver remarks on workforce development and sign the Strengthening Career and Technical Education for the 21st Century Act. The Department of Homeland Security hosts a national cybersecurity summit today, and the government issues data on consumer spending for June. Meanwhile, the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort gets underway in Alexandria, Virginia. For details, we're joined now by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Now, we know this is a tax and bank fraud trial that Manafort is facing from special counsel Mueller. So what are we expecting today, Kate?
Well, basically, today starts jury selection. So we know that that could last probably about a day or two before the trial itself actually gets underway. So that would kind of be the first step. I think, you know, the defense has been particularly keen to make sure that the folks that end up on the jury don't necessarily have, you know, a really strong anti-Trump or, you know, anti-Manafort bent or any preconceived notions necessarily about the defendant. However, that's going to be kind of hard to achieve given how much this case has been in the news.
Yeah, and are we expecting the trial to take a while? I mean, we've heard like hundreds of exhibits of evidence, right?
Yeah, it sounds like Robert Mueller has a ton of evidence that he's come armed with, although I would note that I think that, you know, Mueller's team has really kind of been putting that idea out there at the outset to try to, you know, bolster the idea that they really have a really tight case. But they do have a ton of evidence that they plan to bring up, and prosecutors are estimating the trial would last about 3 weeks, although the judge has urged them to move as quickly as possible.
Okay, so how does this tie into the Russian meddling investigation, which, as we know, is Special Counsel Mueller's mandate?
Well, this doesn't directly have to do necessarily with Trump's campaign, you know, but it is inside the scope of the Russian meddling investigation because it has a lot to do with Manafort's work in the Ukraine, particularly for Viktor Yanukovych, or on behalf of Viktor Yanukovych, prior to his work for the campaign. And so that will delve a little bit and potentially a lot into Manafort's ties to the Russian government and to, you know, promoting Russian interests in the Ukraine, which could offer some insight potentially, you know, into I think everyone will be looking for that tie back to Russian meddling in 2016.
All right, let's turn to geopolitics now. President Trump saying that he is open to a meeting with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani with no preconditions. This is quite a turnabout from just a few days ago on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, my take on this is, you know, kind of first it was Kim Jong-un, and then it was Vladimir Putin, and now we're seeing him look at, you know, another the leader of another country that he's really kind of promoted as one that the U.S. needs to engage more with, but that traditionally the U.S. has had tensions with, in this case being Iran. And so I think that this is kind of a continuation of the Trump foreign policy doctrine that we've seen him starting to build, where he really pats himself on the back for reaching out to these leaders of countries that the U.S. has traditionally had difficulty with.
So could we see perhaps another Singapore-like summit along the lines of what the president did with Kim Jong-un and meet like that with the Iranian leader?
I mean, the response out of Tehran initially has been somewhat negative, but I think that that certainly isn't out of the question. And, you know, I think a lot of folks a year ago would have been surprised to have learned that we would have had a summit between Trump and Kim Jong-un. So definitely that's potentially on the table. A big sticking point would obviously be the U.S.'s withdrawal from the 2015 nuclear accord. Tehran is saying basically that they don't necessarily know if they'd be willing to sit down unless or until that there was some progress on that from their perspective.
Yeah, I mean, they've said that they wouldn't talk with the president at all unless he changes his mind on the Iran deal, yeah?
Exactly, and we don't really see that coming. So okay. This may end up being more rhetoric than it is actual, you know, inkling that something's coming in terms of a summit.
All right, obviously we'll keep an eye on that. And on the trade front, looks like NAFTA negotiations with Mexico are progressing while talks with Canada have hit a wall.
Yeah, so I think that that's kind of the key. We heard Wilbur Ross yesterday being the latest Trump administration official to express really strong optimism about the likelihood of kind of the U.S. and Mexico making a significant breakthrough in the coming days. The question is, you know, in this case, whether Canada is going to potentially be left out in the cold because they don't seem to be making as much progress as the U.S. and Mexico are.
Yeah, it's interesting to see this shift considering the immigration rhetoric that's come from the president. You wouldn't necessarily think that the stance would change, but obviously with the change in leadership in Mexico, a lot can happen.
Definitely, that's true. And I think that, you know, from Trump's perspective, I think that we expect him to be touting basically once again that this is an example that his hardline trade and immigration policies actually achieve results, whether or not that's actually the case.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read these stories and more on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest from Washington on Bloomberg Radio in D.C. It's at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Patrice Sikora.
The heat wave baking Europe is bolstering the popularity of the peaker, a natural gas-fired power plant that can switch on and off quickly and runs only when there's high demand. This summer, abnormally low levels of wind power combined with high demand for cooling has highlighted the benefit of the low-cost generators, some just the size of a shipping container. Bloomberg New Energy Finance reports Britain's peaker capacity is forecast to surge fivefold over the coming decade. Now, peaker plants can start generating power almost instantly. As Europe closes coal stations and old nuclear plants, gas is proving a handy backup to smooth the fluctuations of renewables. Analysts say the classic moment for prices to spike is a still night in the middle of February when everyone is using heat and power and there's no solar or wind. But going forward, performance of the plants depends on the progress of battery storage. And so far, batteries can't meet peak demand for long periods, so gas-fired plants will still be needed to provide backup. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thank you. We have been watching the yen this morning. It is currently down almost 0.5% to 111.56 per dollar. That's the weakest in more than a week. We're also watching futures this morning. They are gaining. This ahead of some U.S. government data on consumer spending for June. That's at 8:30 Wall Street time. Economists are forecasting an increase of 0.4%. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
We probably won't see any surprises. The data on June consumer spending were incorporated in last week's robust report on second quarter GDP. Consumer spending accounts for about two-thirds of U.S. economic activity. Looking ahead, though, Bloomberg Economics says recent data on retail sales suggests consumer spending could be ebbing. Also on today's calendar, reports on labor costs, home prices, and consumer confidence. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up 11. And Pfizer now little changed in early trading. It did report a second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.